CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Frank Tiger said, "Success often comes from not knowing your limitations." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two guests who don't know their limitations. Our first playmaker has been recognized by Franchise Times magazine as a legal eagle, while our next playmaker began his business as a one-man painting company. With us today is a founding partner who is internationally recognized in the area of franchise and distribution law. Well, our next founding partner's company has renovated over 6,600 multifamily projects in a decade. These great playmakers are Cheryl Mullen, founding partner of Mullen Law, and Stephen Bolos. Stephen is founding partner of UR Holdings, and we'll begin today's show with Stephen. In 1984, Stephen Bolos was running a one-man painting company. He spent his days painting apartment units and his nights administrating his business. United Renovations was then founded in 2001 for the purpose of providing commercial and multifamily real estate with a full spectrum of construction services. UR works toward helping multifamily real estate owners meet their return on investment goals through comprehensive renovation services. United Renovations expanded to offer insurance and recovery and major re-roofing structures in the multifamily industry in 2009. In 2013, UR Holdings was formed to include two additional companies, SRG Roofing and UR Specialty Group. In 2014, the UR Hope Foundation was formed to solidify commitment across all companies to leave a legacy of change and impact in communities across the United States. Well, Stephen, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, glad to be here.
Well, you have an interesting background, but what was the defining moment that moved you from a one-man painting company to a multi-company organization?
You know, it was a heck of a journey, and I don't know exactly the defining moment, but I think it was a process from the mid-80s through the 2000s with experimenting and trying to understand my purpose and what God's call for my life was. And in 2001 is when I got aggressive in the apartment multi-housing industry. And then in 2012 is when I had a clearer vision of understanding about really impacting the community, success with significance. And so that's kind of where the major journey and the platform began.
Well, we're going to talk about success through significance in a moment, but I do want to ask you this. Just before the show started, we talked about the fact you've been here since 1980. You're from Detroit. I'm also a Midwesterner myself from Chicago.
Right.
Why painting? Was there something you were looking for, or was it something that just happened? I know this is a long story. We'll keep this story short, but how did you get into painting?
Well, that's not really a long story. The fact is that I migrated by way of Florida to Texas on a 36-hour bus ride from Tallahassee to Dallas. And as far as painting goes, I didn't have much of an education, and I didn't have much of a lot of opportunity. And so I did try to get into some sales, and I found myself falling back to some basic fundamentals of painting. My dad owned a few lower-end properties in the Detroit area, so I knew how to swing a paintbrush. And so I found myself going back to that because I couldn't really get a job without an education, no degrees, doing anything else. And that's pretty much how I got back in the painting business.
Interesting story, and the rest is history, as we talked about. We'll continue doing that. But you mentioned a phrase a few moments ago that I want to ask you about. What is success through significance?
Well, in 2012, I had that vision of success with significance with an understanding that each one of us needs to ask the question of what is my desire to be successful. For every, you know, there has to be a significance. What's the significant component? Why do you desire to be successful? And so with all the employees that we've have within our company and as we've grown, that's a question I ask each employee as they become hired and as they grow within our business. Why do you desire to be successful? What can we do to empower you? How can we help you? I think we all have a reason why we want to be successful. And so that's a question that needs to be asked.
Well, success is very important. And I'm sure you found when you've asked these potential employees, a lot of them really didn't know. And it sounds like, because I'm going to ask you this question in a moment, that you've really helped them identify what success is to them. Would that be correct?
That is correct.
Well, you have a stated mission and vision of your UR companies that is noticeably different from other companies. And I think we're moving from what you talked about, but why is it so different and unique?
Well, I think what sets our company apart from others, and I hope to spread this idea throughout the other corporate businesses across the country, is that the purpose of our success is to ultimately give back to the communities. I mean, I believe that our companies all exist for the purpose of serving God and committing back and pouring back into the communities of which we've been successful from.
Well, if they're giving to you, you might as well give back to them. But since you brought that up, let's jump ahead to something I was going to ask you a little later, the UR Hope Foundation. Talk about that. Tell us what it is and how your company is and anybody else might get involved.
Well, Steve, in 2013, we decided to create our own foundation, and with the financial success from all of our businesses, we committed to putting profit dollars into this foundation. And the foundation's purpose is to seek out other spirit-filled organizations that are 501(c)(3)s that have a desire to bring people to know Jesus and to empower and to equip individuals. You know, success with significance is a pretty important part of our business. You know, changing and impacting lives is really ultimately what it's all about. And so that's what this foundation is for. The money goes into the foundation through all of our businesses, and then the money goes back out into the communities where we serve, where we work.
Well, you just mentioned impacting lives, and my guess, and you can talk about this, is you're actually doing that with your employees first when you hire them.
Absolutely. You know, the philosophy, the spiritual and biblical philosophy that I follow in following Jesus is simply, first you have to be healthy and solid yourself, and then you pour into those closest to you, which is your wife or your husband or your significant other in some cases of relationships. And you have your children, and then beyond your children, you have your relatives and your family members. And then beyond them are those who come in contact with your life. So that is, you know, it's a circle that continues to grow to the circumference of which you have to touch around you.
Then my guess is your turnover is relatively low, and if you do have turnover, and I'm making a guess on this, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, if your turnover is higher, people turn themselves over.
That is it's interesting you picked up on that. I would say that most of the folks who are not with us today who have moved on to other things or did not work out, it's generally because they, you know, they just desired something different than what we had to offer.
And you have something very specific. My guess is once people like that, they stay with you.
It's hard if you are a servant heart and if you have the mentality of giving and you love people. Just in general, it's not about spirituality. You don't even have to be a believer in God. But if you have a loving heart and you desire to impact other lives, you're going to love working for our company.
Well, it's interesting how when you're giving back, all work is a lot easier. And it's not as difficult as it's made out to be. Well, you've actually probably answered this question already, but let me specifically ask you, how do you define success for yourself, both personally and for your companies?
You know, success for me is, again, going back to the spiritual component in my life, because serving God is really the ultimate thing for me. It's the thing that I really feel most called to. It's the most important thing in my life is honoring God in everything that I do. And as long as I'm walking that path and honoring God in my life with my wife and my children and all the folks that I work with and all the people that I engage with, there's just a sense of joy that just resonates, and it's just a peaceful place, even during challenging times. And I will tell you, we've had some challenging times in the business with the ups and downs of our industry and changing the way we process our business. We'd had some dynamic changes from 13, 14 through 15, and we came out really solid. But through those difficult times, you know, one day to another, you wonder if what tomorrow is going to bring. But having that peaceful joy, you know, of knowing that God's with you, it's a real piece.
Well, I'm going to talk about what you actually do now. We'll take that from your philosophy. You have UR Holdings, which is your holding company for United Renovations, SRG Roofing, UR Specialty Group. We talked about UR Hope Foundation. So give us an idea of all the different things that you do for your clients.
Well, we are in the apartment renovation business. So whether you're purchasing a property and wanting to renovate it and increase the rents, or whether it's a property that you currently own and you want to reinvest money into it, and so you want to reposition it for higher rents, that's when you'd reach out to our company. You know, we have 9 locations across the United States. We're very unique that we are exclusively in the renovation business. We don't do any new construction. All we do is renovation. We have 9 offices, East Coast to West Coast, North to South. We're so versatile and have a lot of talent out across the country that can do pretty much any large project. Our projects range from $1 to $15 million. And we're very unique, and it's really, and we've got so many good systems in place. The clients and our customers get pretty excited because we bring a lot to the table in one package and very competitively.
Well, you also have SRG Roofing. Is that commercial, residential, both, one or the other?
SRG Roofing is only apartments and commercial buildings.
So you're focused on that one niche then?
That's correct. Now, the roofing business is a little separate and a little unique because ultimately Kevin Kirkwood, who's my partner, and he's the president and operator, he's the guru in the roofing business. He's the one taking that business to a whole new level. He's got big vision. He has done some tremendous things. That business is only 3 years old, and it has had some significant success, and it continues to grow. He loves the Lord. He's got a big vision himself of changing and impacting lives. So that's a pretty exciting business all by itself.
And before we get off this piece of it, how about UR Specialty Group? What's your focus there?
UR Specialty Group is, so to define our industry, we have the apartment industry, and we have what's called a market rate, and that's where just an individual or a group or a company may buy a property and renovate it and then lease it to just normal residential market rate folks. And then there's a tax credit realm where there is a lot of subsidized housing for those who can't necessarily afford rent. So the URSG business in Arizona, they primarily focus on tax credit renovation projects. It's a lot more complex, a lot more paperwork. It's much more fast-paced. They're larger projects. They start at $4 million and could go up to $25 million per project. So there's a significant difference.
Well, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you via the Internet.
Well, heck, you can always reach out to me on my email, which is Stephen@urholdings.com.
Very easy.
And reach out to, just look up. I'd love for you all to, if you have an interest, to look into UR Hope Foundation and look at all the ministries and all the communities that we're impacting. If you see a desire to be part of one of those, or if you're a business owner and you'd like to learn how you can better impact the community that you are in, I would love to talk to you about that, because that is what I believe that I've been called to.
Well, all of those websites and that information is also on our website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Stephen, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for allowing me here.
You are definitely a playmaker. Stephen Bolos is a founding partner of UR Holdings. Don't go away. We have more. We are going to speak with the founding partner of Mullen Law. Her name is Cheryl Mullen. Back with Cheryl right after this.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. This segment, we're going to speak franchise law. We have Cheryl Mullen, who is a founding partner of Mullen Law. Her practice focuses on assisting commercial clients achieve their growth objectives through franchising, joint ventures, acquisition, and private investment. She also provides intellectual property protection services to small and mid-sized enterprises, business transition planning services for closely held businesses, and commercial litigation support on business issues. Founded in 2003, Mullen Law is a Dallas-based full-service commercial law firm that is internationally recognized in the area of franchise and distribution law. The firm represents clients throughout the U.S. in matters relating to franchising, employment, trademarks and copyrights, corporate and commercial litigation. A lot there to talk about, but we're going to focus on franchising. And Cheryl, welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you specialize in franchise law. We were talking before that's a big part of your business. How did that become a niche market, the market you wanted to focus on?
It goes way back to when I graduated high school. Our family was going through a tough time then, and we didn't have a car that would pass inspection, so I didn't have a driver's license. So when I graduated high school, the only place I could work was somewhere that was within walking distance. And about a mile from my house, there was a 7-Eleven. So I went in and I filled out my little application, and the man who later became my husband hired me. And
So all franchising really is a big part of your life then.
It's a huge part of my life. And he kind of took me under his wing. He knew a lot more about business. And so he taught me the business of the convenience store industry and how to read cash reports and financial statements and things like that.
Was he the manager of this location?
He was the manager. It was a corporate location. And so he was training to be a field rep. So I kind of learned about a franchise organization and what the organization structure was. And so about a year into it, I figured out how to go to college and how to get student loans and all of that stuff. So I went to college at night and then law school at night. And when I was out looking for a legal position, I happened upon a firm in Philadelphia that specialized in franchise law. And at the time, they actually had a 7-Eleven case that was going on, and they needed somebody who understood the system and understood the cash reporting and everything. So I had one unique skill that was very attractive to
all
them
the
at the time.
All the stars were aligned just for that one thing.
It was really amazing. So that's where it took off. So that was 1993.
And you then moved to Dallas, and the rest is history from that, from 2003 on.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, you moved here without clients, is that correct?
Well,
or did you have clients you brought with you?
It was like a circuitous story. I was working in Philadelphia, and then I joined a big law firm that was expanding at the time, a Dallas-based law firm, and I was working in their D.C. office, and my husband was still with 7-Eleven. He was in charge of the bakery category, I think, at the time, and 7-Eleven was headquartered in Dallas, too. So so that we could live together, we both decided to move to Dallas in 2001.
And started the business 2 years later.
Started the business 2 years later, yeah.
Well, you are, I guess I'll use the word expert in franchising. You probably know as much, if not more, than most people about franchising. What's hot in franchising? What is something, if someone wanted to get into franchising, what would they look for?
That is the hardest question. But there are certain businesses that really lend themselves to franchising. And, of course, restaurant businesses do because they have systems that can be replicated. And they have advertising, and pooled advertising is beneficial to a group of businesses. But also the service businesses. I mean, I really like a franchise where you're granted a territory and it's really up to you how much money you can make. You go out and, you cold call, you meet people. You're really the master of your own destiny. You're not standing in a store waiting for somebody to come in.
You're really a community business is what you are. When you have that territory, you're meeting all the local people.
Absolutely.
And doing business with them, especially if it's a service industry.
Absolutely.
So has anything changed during 2016 since this is an election year? Has that helped? Has that hurt franchising at all?
I think franchising may be a little bit slower. I mean, the people, there are two different types of people who are franchisees. The one, you know, you have franchisees who have hundreds of franchise units and they're very professional and they're going to do what they did and they've been doing it for a long time. So they've seen other things happen in politics and taxes and they're just used to adjusting. But then there are people who are leaving their jobs and this is the first time that they're going to own a business and they're a little more hesitant to make a major change before they see what's going to happen.
Well, I've had a number of franchisors on my show, and a good majority of them are in the restaurant industry because it opens itself up for a lot of franchising companies. But why is DFW consistently an attractive market for franchisors to put their business or to run their businesses from DFW.
You're absolutely right. It really is. I mean, it's really easy to do business in Dallas. I mean, there's not a lot of regulations. It's very tax friendly. I think the community is friendly. I mean, moving from the Northeast to Dallas, it's just a lot easier to do business where we are.
Well, if you want to, let's say somebody listening wants to get in the to franchise their business. They have a business. They want to expand. They see franchising. A lot of people think about that. How do you, first of all, if you know if your business is franchisable, if that's a word?
Sure. Well, the first question is, does it make money? Because what you don't want to do is franchise your business, license your business operation to someone who's not going to be successful. I mean, you're really impacting people's lives and livelihoods.
So if you're going to franchise, you want to make sure whoever's purchasing it makes sure they're making
money.
Makes money,
too. Absolutely. Yeah. And then you have to look at your own business. And sometimes you may do business differently than you would franchise it. So you may have family members that have a different working relationship or a different employment relationship than if you just went out and hired someone who you didn't know. So you have to make sure that what you're doing as a successful business model can be replicated. So, yeah, the second thing is, is this a business that can be replicated? Do you have the systems in place that you can teach somebody else how to do your business, and it's not a business that's so personal to you and your own personal relationships that someone else can't be successful doing it?
Well, I was going to ask about what steps should you take to get ready to franchise, but what I'm hearing now from what you said is the first thing you need to do is have a process, a system in place, because that's essentially what people are buying when they're buying a franchise. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So they need to put that together first. Let's flip that over. If someone wants to buy a franchise, what's a major difference between starting your own business and buying a franchise?
When people ask me that question, I always say it's the difference between buying a house and leasing an apartment. So if you're starting your own business, you're starting from scratch. You have to figure out what your trademark is going to be, what is your brand. You have to build all the brand elements. You have to figure out how you're going to run your business, and then the processes of how you actually operate whatever the underlying business is. When you have a franchise, you're essentially renting that operational system from someone else. And when you're starting your business, it's more of a legacy. It's something that you can pass along to future generations, and it's something that you own. A franchise is limited in time. So a typical franchise agreement is 10 years with 5 or 10-year renewals. So you do have renewal rights, but it's not something that you own. You're looking to achieve a certain return on investment within a certain number of years. And the rule of thumb is like 3 to 4 years, you want to make back whatever you put into it.
So I purchase a franchise and I'm doing relatively well, but that franchisor can decide if I'm going to stay in business or not stay in business by either renewing or not renewing that contract. You said about every 5 to 10 years, is that correct?
Yeah.
So you need to perform for that franchisor to let you continue.
Absolutely. Yeah, so you'll have renewal rights. Like a typical franchise agreement will be for 10 years because that's the typical length of a lease with maybe 2 renewal periods. So maybe you have like a 20-year term, maybe a little bit more if it's like a Burger King or something with a higher initial investment. But once your renewal rights run out, then it's just by mutual agreement of the parties. And a lot of times the franchisor will require you to remodel or maybe rebuild your location. There'll be other conditions towards renewal.
We see that a lot. Most people don't realize or think about the fact that automobile dealerships are really a franchisee from the major manufacturers. And there are a lot of rules they have to keep up, especially with keeping up their building.
Sure.
So it's attractive. One of the things people think about when franchising, they think about the big companies. You mentioned Burger King, and there's also McDonald's, which are the 600-pound gorillas for some of those. But it's financing. People say, well, I'd love to franchise, but don't have the money. Are there options to finance some of that money to get into a franchise?
Yeah. The SBA has a loan program, and most franchisors are pre-approved for the SBA guarantee program. So a franchisee would go to their own lender, but then the loan itself would be guaranteed by the SBA. And there's something called the SBA registry or the franchise registry. So a franchisor gets pre-approved by the SBA, and you can go online and see if your franchisor is pre-approved. But also a lot of the smaller franchises that we work with use the ROBS program, which is a way to roll over your 401k into a C corporation that you form yourself, and then you use your 401k money to acquire the franchise rights.
Ah, so there's actually no penalties with the government if you do that correctly.
Correct.
You're not actually taking the money out. You're using that as the money to purchase the franchise?
Yeah. Without getting too technical, yeah, you would form a C Corp and then cause the C Corp to form a profit sharing plan, and then you roll your 401k into the profit sharing plan and use that money to buy stock in the corporation. So at the end of the day, it's actually your profit sharing plan that owns the franchise, and if you went to sell it, all the money would go back into your profit sharing plan.
We're speaking with Cheryl Mullen. She is the founding partner of Mullen Law. Her website's mullenlawpc.com. So somebody wants to either purchase a franchise or they want to become a franchisor. Should they call you? Is it something you would sit down and discuss with them to help understand how they should do it or how they should not do it?
Absolutely.
What kind of meeting would that be? Are you asking a lot of questions about where they've been, where they want to go?
Yeah. I mean, if it's somebody that's franchising their business, I certainly want to know what's the history and let's look at some financial statements and see whether this is worth franchising. And the steps that you typically take are you want to protect your trademark because that's something that you're licensing to someone to use throughout the country. So you want to make sure that it can be used throughout the country. And at the same time, you want to start documenting your operations in something like an operations manual. And if you're going to purchase a franchise, then yeah, I want to know, you know, why. Why are you thinking about doing this? What's your role? What's your exit strategy? What's your goal here? And then as a franchisee, you're entitled to get a franchise disclosure document from the franchisor that has a list of the franchisees and has summaries of the fee structures and different elements of the franchise. So the way that I help franchisees is I'll review the franchise disclosure document and basically walk the franchisee through the franchise agreement, pointing out any red flags concerning the franchisor or just explaining how the franchise works.
So the first step really is sitting down with you to help understand what steps they should take.
Absolutely.
Tell everybody how they can, I mentioned a few moments ago, but tell everybody how they can get a hold of you to find out more about either, again, purchasing a franchise or becoming a franchisor.
You can shoot me an email at cheryl.mullen@mullenlawpc.com.
And again, the website is mullenlawpc.com. Cheryl, thank you very much. This is a very complicated, you made it very simple, but thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you so much, Steve.
And again, you are a playmaker also.
Thank you.
Cheryl Mullen, founding partner of Mullen Law, and our first guest was Stephen Bolo. Stephen is the founding partner of UR Holdings. This has been a terrific show. Thank you for both our guests for being Playmakers. It's been great having both of you on the show, and thank you also for listening and joining us. Join us also at Playmakers Talk Show, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.